Congratulations, ladies, coach. Brings us to 1.05, Governing Board Organization and Orientation for 2026. 1.05.1 is election of the board chair.
Nominate Don Hutchins.
Second.
Yeah, moved and seconded for me to continue on as chair. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 1.05.2, election of the board secretary.
I would like to nominate Stephanie Money to become the secretary of the Cochise County Cochise College Governing Board for the coming year.
Second.
Move and second it for Stephanie to join us as board secretary. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. What did I say? Motion carries. Appointment of 1.05.3 is appointment of governing board representatives and alternatives, representatives to board committees and associations. Trustee Leader has agreed to stay on as the board representative for AACCT. And Mark Farr has agreed to serve as on the finance committee this coming year. So I believe that covers all of our appointments. 1.05.4 is opening meeting law. Cochise County representative will provide an open meeting law presentation to the governing board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Dr. Perry, Dr. Davis, and members. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Dylan Hendel. To give you a little introduction about me, I was born and raised in Arizona, and I've been working for the Cochise County Attorney's Office as a deputy county attorney for about the last 15 months, and I enforce the open meeting law for our board of supervisors. I hope you all will be just as easy as they are. So a little bit about the history of why we have an open meeting law. It was enacted to end decision-making behind closed doors of multi-member bodies. We want to keep public business out in front of the public. Prior to this law in Arizona, governing bodies could deliberate privately, and they could have closed door meetings about a variety of issues, and the public would only get to see a vote after they've made all the decisions. And so the legislature responded many decades ago, requiring that all deliberations, including the votes, occur in public. So what are some of the core rules that all of you need to adhere to? Because you're members of a multi-member body in Arizona, you have to adhere to these rules. All meetings of a quorum of a public body to discuss, deliberate, propose, or decide public business must be open to the public and be properly noticed. In each one of those words is a different legal definition. So I'm going to try to break it down. So you're in a quorum of the board is currently meeting. That is a majority of five members. That's three of you. So count three. If you're ever at a public meeting, just look around. And if you see three of you, you got to be a little careful. So, and you're in a public body. This is the Cochise College Governing Board District. This is the Community College District of Cochise County. So you're in a public body and you discussing, deliberating, proposing, or deciding public business. Public business is any matter that could reasonably come before any of you at any time, or could be matters that are currently before you that relate to the business of this district. They need to be open to the public like this, and they need to be properly noticed. They need to be noticed in a conspicuous place or noticed online. This applies to all formal meetings. This law has broad applicability, applies to informal gatherings. It applies to your emails, your text messages, and serial communications that collectively involve a quorum, at least three of you. And so that even involves text messages that you all could send to each other. And a serial communication is when perhaps not a quorum is speaking at one time, but if another one from your first meeting of two people, then you speak to a third member, then you've just had a serial communication, and that does invoke the open meeting law. So what are some key judicial interpretations? So I'll try to keep it simple and usable. Arizona courts have emphasized that the law applies when future action is reasonably foreseeable, even if no final vote occurs. So that means that if three of you go to a function, a social function, and you all get together and you start discussing something that the board is currently considering, that triggers the open meeting law. It also involves three people in an email together. If all of you are in a group email and you discussing something that might be on the agenda at a future meeting, that is it. You just trigger the open meeting law, and you got to be careful. The law is designed to prevent public bodies from deciding first and voting later, and it applies broadly, like I've just stated. The minutes must be taken by the board or a deputy clerk of the board, and they need to be posted for the public to see what action has taken place. And any action item must be noticed through agendas, posted ahead of time using general language. And the important part about this is that members, you cannot deviate from agendized items. So that means that if there's an agenda item about a budget issue, but you feel that you want to discuss something just going on in the community, you have to be careful. You have to be careful about discussing items that were not originally put on the agenda that could violate the open meeting law. So executive session, getting in closed door meetings with legal counsel, that is one of the few opportunities that is enumerated in Arizona law in which you can make a decision and deliberate as a public body behind closed doors. You can talk to me. Some of the enumerated items in Arizona law are personnel actions. When you are making decisions that involve human resources, you can go behind closed doors. Salaries or benefits of those individuals, getting legal advice on agenda items, issues involving school safety, operations, plans, or programs, that would be pertinent to all of you. Discussing pending litigation that involves Cochise College, real property leases and transactions, and critical safety infrastructure that involves the college, similar to school safety. But you can't take votes in executive session. So discussion or consultation of properly noticed topics. So before you go into executive session, you have to agendize using with the clerk of the board what you might possibly discuss in executive session. And then you can have a discussion with legal counsel about those issues. But if you want to take if you're going to perhaps initiate litigation or you want to finalize a real property transaction, you're going to have to then exit executive session, and you're going to have to take that vote in public. The Arizona Court of Appeals has recently confirmed that for us. So you must exit executive session and then take the votes that fully reference the actions that are discussed during your executive session. And then the minutes shall be taken, but they are kept confidential. And they are a matter of attorney-client privilege. It is important, though, to keep an accurate keeping accurate minutes because the Arizona Auditor General's office, they do oversee those. So call to the public that typically begins at the beginning of the meeting. It is at the board's discretion about whether to have a call to the public. Public comment on any item that is allowed that's within the board's jurisdiction, as long as it is reasonable and uniform. So the board can set reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions. So for example, if you're going to set a time limit of 3 minutes per person, you have to apply that to every person who comes to speak. You may require the public to indicate their desire to speak before the start of the meeting, and you can have a cutoff time to when you need to indicate your desire to speak. You have the power to maintain decorum during this, and members cannot discuss an unnoticed. Let's see. Well, I'll just speak very loudly if my mic isn't working anymore. So members cannot discuss unnoticed legal issues during an open call. Let's imagine that someone comes to call the public and they want to discuss something that is not within the board's jurisdiction. you simply listen to them. You can't shut down their speech. You just have to listen. And if it's something that a member is interested in, you can simply direct a staff member to research it, but you really shouldn't go really far into detail into what that person is talking about. However, if a member of the public were to, you know, critique a member directly, that member then has the power to respond back, but you can't go too far and deviate too far into unnoticed items. So what happens when you violate the open meeting law? I know you're not, it's never going to happen, and I'm never going to hear about it, but I'm going to describe what might happen if a mistake is made. Your actions that are in violation of the open meeting law are void and null. They have no legal effect. And you will be required later on to ratify a decision that was taken in violation of the open meeting law. You have to come back at a future meeting. You're all going to have to meet together. You're going to have to tell the public what you did. And then you're going to have to vote in public on that issue. And you may still be liable for future sanctions and litigation. What happens? Who investigates an open meeting law violation? Well, under Arizona law, the Cochise County Attorney serves as your attorney. So that means that we would not investigate the complaint. Instead, I would send it to either another county attorney in another county, or I would send it to the Arizona Attorney General's office. Under Arizona law, a county attorney or the attorney general has the power to subpoena you. They have the power to take oaths to obtain information. And if it's the attorney general, if it's the attorney general that's investigating, they can also sue you personally. There are some severe penalties to violating the open meeting law. Removal from the board is considered one of the most severe penalties. That is for multiple duplicitous violations of the open meeting law. Civil money penalties are also a possible sanction. That means that the district would have to pay money to the person or the entity that is initiating legal action against you. And they're also entitled to reasonable attorney's fees and costs. Those can get really expensive. So it's best just not to violate it. And so either way, thank you for your commitment to transparency. I am open for any questions too.
On the call to the public, I've seen people get up and take their 3 minutes. They aren't finished with their whatever they're trying to say, and had somebody in the audience say, well, I'll give them my 3 minutes. Is that legal?
No.
Okay. So whoever monitoring it should shut that down. Okay.
I have a question in that same section. It says may maintain decorum.
Shouldn't that be must maintain decorum?
May. It's in your discretion.
Oh, okay.
It's in your discretion. But yes, you may maintain decorum, but ideally, any public body has the duty to keep a streamlined meeting going. So it's in your discretion.
All right,
I'll provide my contact information to the administration. If any member has a question, you're welcome to send it over to me directly. And you know, I'm happy to respond to your meeting just as to respond to your email, just as long as you're not including a quorum in your email. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dylan.
And I do have to excuse myself. I have to go back to the office, actually. So thank you so much for having me today.
Grab a snack on the way out if you want.
Thank you.
That brings us to 1.06, citizens in person interim. Did we have anybody sign up for this? Very well. Thank you, ma'am. Standing reports. 1.07.1 was report for the Arizona Association of Community College Trustees. There will be no report today because there was nothing happening. 1.07.2 is a Senate report, and a written Senate report was in our packet. Was there any questions on that? Okay. Moving on, 1.07.3 was a Student Government Association's report, and they were on break, so we don't have that a report. 1.07.4, College President's Report. Dr. Perry?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. As we begin the new year, start of the spring semester, just want to take a few moments to acknowledge the energy and momentum that goes into really preparing for the spring semester. Appreciate all the work that's been done up to this point, and say thank you in advance of all the work that will take place this semester. We're really excited about what's going to happen. In fact, you'll get to meet some of them, but last week, one of the highlights before students were even here was I had the opportunity to meet quite a few new faculty that we have here at Cochise College, and I'm really excited about their influence and impact on our students. Moving on to the legislative update. As 2026 legislative session began Monday, the overall environment at the Capitol could be characterized by early legislative activity, fiscal uncertainty, and a divided government. This session is especially important because one of the main things of this legislature here in this session is to come up with the 2027 state budget, which hopefully takes effect on July 1, 2026. Following last year's session and updates from the Joint Legislative Budget Committee, it was already clear that the state was trending towards a budget deficit. Add to that further complications, kind of this trickle-down effect when the federal government makes changes to tax law, budgets, things like that. Many times that trickles down to the state level. When we talk about HR 1 and certain shifts, certain portions of SNAP and Medicaid then will trickle down to the state depending on what they decide to do. The total impact is estimated to be approximately $440 million in this year. In response, Governor Hobbs proposed partial conformity to the new some of the new tax regulations, whereas the Republican leadership has proposed full compliance with the new tax structure. So there's going to be a battle that takes place between the governor's office and the legislature on what that eventual budget really shakes out to be. They are moving quickly on the issue. I think by Thursday, I think the Republican led House was hoping to have a package voted on. But again, it'll be interesting to see what happens overall. More broadly, I will mention that over 200 bills were pre-filed ahead of this legislative session, which I think is might be the most that's ever been pre-filed before a session, covering elections, water, infrastructure, taxation, public safety, a variety of different items. We can expect some of the same bills or bills that were very similar to last year, firearms on campus, stuff related to public records or open meeting laws, some of the things that we just heard Dylan talk about. It's going to be an extremely busy legislative session. Add on to that, that it is an election year, right? So not only is there work to be done, but there will be a lot of politics involved in all of the work from both sides, the governor's office, as well as the legislative side. So we continue as community colleges to reinforce the importance of what we do. But I will say that in meeting with the AC4 lobbyist yesterday morning for just a brief, it becomes more important that we continually fight for current level funding, knowing that we're facing a deficit. And if we're going to have to, if the state's going to comply, depending on what level with federal taxes and some of these other things, it's going to be extremely tight and everybody's going to kind of be at the trough. So we'll keep you posted on kind of where those things fall out. As I mentioned before, we'll be setting something up. We'll work with marketing to set something up to get down to the legislator, the legislation or legislature to meet with our legislators to talk through the importance of what we're doing, reinstate that message and continue to make sure that we're out in front of them on the importance of what we do. On the federal level, the environment's kind of being shaped by three factors. narrow governing majority in Congress, unresolved federal budget negotiations, and the early implementation of major higher education policies that were passed in 2025. Currently, the federal government is operating under a budget resolution that will cease to exist on January 30th. So they need to start working now on a bill that will a budget bill for the federal government, or else we'll be facing some of the same things we were facing last semester. We'll continue to monitor developments at the federal level, and as we always do, kind of adjust as we need to make sure that we're in compliance with federal law and state law and all of those various things. Any questions on the federal piece? Okay.
So to your state piece, would there be anything that would impact our current budget? Not the upcoming budget, but the current budget, is there anything at risk?
No, by all indications, current budget year should be okay. We haven't heard anything. Again, we've, you know, Dr. Davis's team and the institution as a whole and the board have really taken a conservative approach to budgeting. We feel we're very confident this year. Good. Again, everything's just really on what's going to happen in 2027. All right. On the facilities update, we continue to work with the Gordian Group on the district-wide facility condition index. I know Jim Barrows and his team have some meetings coming up relatively soon with that group. On the Douglas campus, the City of Douglas well site development is expected to start in March, and part of one of the agenda items we have is the easement for that. The Welcome Center, turnabout parking lot A improvements, xeriscaping project punch list items should be finished the week of, actually should have been finished last week or, yep. We'll have to check on that. But we've got the footer sleeve for the flagpole should be installed, I believe, this week. And then next week we'll get the flagpole set. So that'll be great. Adult education, 400 building renovation, drainage improvements continue. Contractor pre-construction planning meeting, there was one to finalize the work schedule for minimized instructional impact. I think the campus just met yesterday, and I think that's slotted to start next week. Friday. There's going to be quite a bit of construction taking place as the drainage is pretty comprehensive, so we'll make sure that we've got that, you know, taped off and everything. But things are progressing with that, and it'll be really nice when we've got those classrooms back in usage for the Douglas campus. Rodeo ground trailer demolition has been completed, and then also on the Douglas campus, the renovation of general classrooms in the 700 building continues. We've got a conference room table on order, but we expect all of that to be done January 30th, so the end of this month. All right. On the Sierra Vista campus, again, here on Sierra Vista Campus Services Building 2600 have started to relocate. In fact, we had an open house with facilities on the 8th of January. And they've got some new office space, and we were able to tour that and get a sense of what's happening there. And it's a really nice space that's been renovated and will really help the college kind of reshuffle some space so that we can really focus on instruction here on this main area while still coordinating efforts through IT and facilities in a building that's designed specifically for them. And then lastly, downtown center, we're still tentatively scheduled for spring break on the helicopter flight simulator. And I know that Dean Scarborough and his crew continue to work on the curriculum for that, and we'll keep us posted on that. On the initiatives, wow. So we came back last week, students weren't here, but we hit the ground running. Director Nikki Daniels and the Allied Health team hosted a law enforcement officer phlebotomy course. I think this is the second or third course we've had.
Third
course we've had to train law enforcement professionals on phlebotomy and how to take blood. In fact, they put out, I think every person that came through there has to have 50 sticks, right?
Mm-hmm. Successful.
Yeah, they put out the call for that. I think most of administration at the college waited until the last day where we heard that they were almost done.
Yeah.
but yeah, they got everybody through that. So that's great. In support of first responders, we are offering a FAA Part 107 drone training on February 7th and February 14th. This is part of some of the work that Dean Scarborough has done with the sheriff's office to really look at drone training and some of these new technologies to keep our people current and abreast on what's happening. So thank you to him and Quint Molina, because I think we've already identified an instructor, two instructors from the University of Arizona, which will help us put that together. We're working to establish a training aligned with the Arizona Pest Control Certified Applicator Certification. That was one thing that was identified in some of the Wilcox meeting we had. And as we talked to other business and industry, was the initial certification for that, as well as continuing education credits to make sure that those that are certified to apply pesticides and things like that continue to stay certified. So we're extremely extremely happy about that. MOS program activity continues to grow with 353 registrations in December, up from 222 in December of last year. Last, but certainly not least, we're excited to share that the Cochise College has been awarded a Department of Education Special Projects Grant, also known as a FPSE grant, to the tune of $1.87 million. All right. This grant was to support a multi-year initiative entitled AI-Powered Success, Integrating AI Literacy, Ethical Digital Citizenship. This was a competitive grant. I think there were only maybe 7 or 8 community colleges nationwide that were awarded this grant. It was a 2-week turnaround, right?
Over Thanksgiving.
This together. And I'll be honest, myself, I think even Dr. Davis and the rest of us were like, yeah, let's give it a go. We didn't think we had a good chance of getting it. Nice. But lo and behold, we did. So the project addresses 4 things: faculty development through an AI innovation studio that builds instructional capacity and shared standards, institution-wide capacity building to improve staff workflows and operational effectiveness using AI responsibility, K-12 and industry partnerships to align AI competencies with workforce expectations. What's going to be needed? How do we train for that? And workforce micro-credentials in AI aligned with statewide learning mobility efforts. So when we've talked about the 3 pillars, right? Student-centered, community-anchored, and future-focused, this is really all of those put together in moving Cochise College and being at the lead of some of this newer technology. So congratulations to Janelle and her team. Super proud of you. This is a 4-year grant that we'll have as we continue to move forward on that. All right. Community engagements. On December 11th, I was able to present at the Chaplain's Breakfast here locally. That was a great opportunity to meet some of the leaders, faith-based leaders here within the community, and talk about what Cochise College is doing. December 16th, we had the holiday luncheon on the Douglas campus. And December 17th, the holiday luncheon here at the Sierra Vista campus. It was a great time really to celebrate the end of the semester, all of the accomplishments, and want to thank the board for those of you that were able to attend to be there. It really means a lot to our college community when they not only see your support from the dais here, but your support in person as well. January 8th, we had, like I mentioned, we had the Campus Services Building open house. January 9th, I got to bring a welcome or be a guest speaker for the DECA competition. Some of you may be familiar with DECA. Is a student organization focused on, help me out here, guys.
Marketing.
Yes, marketing, business. We had about 200 DECA students from around the county compete regionally here. I love that Cochise College is a place where we can come together not only to host them, but many of our faculty and staff served as judges for their competitions. So we want to continue to do that for various competitions on campus if we have. Brought back memories when I was an FFA advisor for regional competitions as well. Woo, I remember that. January 10th. Our 12th, yesterday, I met with Margaret Hepburn from the Legacy Foundation. They have built a new conference center right across from our downtown center. It holds about 160 people, but it's a mini retreat location, which she has offered up to the college to utilize for free. And then also there may be other efforts that we're able to coordinate or work some other things that we do here as a college to help support that endeavor as well. But we've had such a great working relationship with them on multiple facets, not just with the Legacy Foundation and resources from a monetary standpoint, but also across the board in other aspects. So we really appreciate that relationship. And the last couple of days, we had some welcome back breakfasts, kind of just coffee and pastries on both campuses that we were able to attend. Upcoming activities on January 19th, we've got MLK holiday, so the college will be closed. January 21st through 22nd, I will be attending the AC4 meeting in Phoenix with the other presidents for community colleges. January 28th through 30th, we've got the Cochise Combined Trust meeting in Tubac, where myself and Dr. Davis will attend as we sit on that board. And then February 7th through the 11th, I'll be attending with board member Leader and board member Money, the ACCT Legislative Summit in Washington, D.C. We've already locked down visits with Congressman Siskamani and Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva. We're still waiting on Senator Kelly to get back with us, and hopefully we can schedule him as well. Mr. Chair, members of the board, that concludes my report. I'm open to any questions that you may have.
You killed it with the new grant.
Yeah. Yeah. They killed it with the new grant. Congratulations.
Did you have any questions, comments?
No.
Okay. Moving on. 1.07.5 was our monthly financial report for December 2025. That report was in our packet. Was there any questions on the report? Okay. And the monthly academic progress report was also in our packet. Were there any questions on that report? That was a really good one, too. Okay, brings us to new business, our consent agenda 2.01, and that is minus. No, that's the other one. So our consent agenda is still intact. We're going to need a motion to approve.
I'll move. Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yeah. All approved? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Introduction of employees.
I'd like to invite my five new employees to come forward, please.
Awesome.
These are some of the finest that Cochise has to offer as new employees. And I'm impressed with the degrees and the years of experience that they bring to Cochise. They broaden our abilities and allow us to be the number one community college in Arizona. So thank you for being here. Make sure you're in the camera. You are. Good enough. All right. First, we'll start with Doug Simmons. Doug is our Raise your hand, Doug. Where are you? There you are. Doug is our nursing instructor. He has a master's degree in nursing and has been a family nurse practitioner. He retired from the U.S. Army in 2013, and he has over 23 years as active military. He has over 28 years of experience as a RN and 16 of those years as a family nurse practitioner. So you can see the experience he brings to the table. He's excited to be given the opportunity to continue to give back to Cochise County. And we welcome our instructor of nursing, Doug Simmons. Next is Armando Romero. He's hiding. Step forward, Armando. Armando is a native of Douglas. He's born and raised here in Cochise County, so we're glad to have him here tonight. He's an academic career advisor, and he started with us in August. We're glad to have him here to introduce him, and he plans to make a positive impact with his position by focusing on the students' needs and creating a plan that leads them towards success. Armando has a master's degree from Grand Canyon University, and he is our academic career advisor, Armando Romero. Next is Erin Ross. Erin Ross is our career services coordinator, and she began back in December with us. And she will complete her master's degree in family and human development in May of this year. The most important part of being a member of the Cochise family is being service-minded. And she asks the questions, how can I help? So she says her greatest achievements in life have been her six beautiful children. Wow. Career services coordinator, Erin Ross. Next is Judy Jones, our small business advisor at the Downtown Center. She began with us this month, and so we're glad to have her here. She has a master's degree from the University of Phoenix, and we inherited her from the city of Sierra Vista. She had 10 years of experience there, and so we're grateful for your marketing experience that you bring with you. She enjoys woodworking and painting, and she is our small business advisor, Judy Jones. And next is Renee Earlmeyer, our instructor of nursing at the Downtown Center. She also began just this month. She has a master's degree from the University of Phoenix, and we were glad to inherit her from the Sierra Vista Unified School District, where she had 14 years of experience in nursing there. She enjoys archery, and both of her sons are competitive archers at national competitions, and they got her interested in archery. One of her sons is a baseball student athlete here at Cochise College. She is our instructor of nursing, Renee Earlmeyer. Are there any questions from the board? Thank you.
Congratulations and welcome.
Welcome.
You welcome. Bet. And you're excuse me, let me say.
Brings us to 2.02, Career and Technical Education Month Proclamation. The administration requests the governing board adopt a motion to approve and proclaim February 2026 as Career and Technical Education Month.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So with that, whereas Career and Technical Education prepares students for high skill, high wage, and demand careers by providing rigorous academic instruction integrated with hands-on real-world learning experiences. And whereas career and technical education plays a critical role in strengthening the nation's workforce by closing its skills gaps, increasing economic mobility, and ensuring that businesses and industries have access to a prepared and adaptable labor force. And whereas in the state of Arizona, career and technical education supports statewide economic growth, innovation, and competitiveness by aligning education pathways and emerging industries, advancing manufacturing, healthcare, information technology, aviation, defense, and other key sectors vital to the state's future. And whereas in Cochise County, career and technical education serves as a cornerstone of workforce development by equipping students, youth, and adults alike with technical skills, certifications, and strengthening the local economy. And whereas Cochise College's career and technical education programs provide accessible, affordable, and high-quality education and training that meets the needs of our cities, towns, rural communities, and military-connected populations, creating pathways to employment, entrepreneurship, lifelong learning. And whereas career and technical education promotes equity and opportunity by offering multiple pathways to success, empowering individuals to achieve economic self-sufficiency, and preparing a diverse workforce capable of meeting the challenges of a rapidly changing economy. And whereas faculty, staff, industry partners, employers, and community leaders play a vital role in the success of career and technical education by collaborating to ensure programs remain relevant, responsive, and aligned with workforce demands. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Cochise College Governing Board does hereby proclaim February 2026 as Career and Technical Education Month and encourages students, families, education, employers, and community members to recognize and celebrate the impact of career and technical education. And be it further resolved that the Governing Board affirms its commitment to advancing career and technical education as a strategic investment in our community workforce, economic resilience, and a bright and prosperous future for Cochise County, its cities, and the state of Arizona. Adopted this 13th day of January 2026 by the Cochise College Governing Board. Yeah.
Have a moment. Okay, I'll grab this. All right. It's such a pleasure to be before the board as a Cochise Technology District Governing Board member. We are very excited about Career and Technical Education Month in February. I'm sure you guys are all aware about the impact and all the work that Cochise College is doing to support that. But one thing that we're really focusing on moving forward is building a culture around career and technical education, right? Because when we really hyper-focus on this and realize the impact, we're talking about breaking generational curses, cycles, poverty. It's more than just getting a job. The way that this is able to transform communities and equip and make sure that students are ready to get into the workforce right after they graduate, rather than, you know, having to wait a year or 2 years, that is the difference, right? That empowers families to be able to buy homes, to open businesses, so on and so forth. So as we continue to work to build a culture that celebrates career and technical education, we are so glad that Cochise College is the amazing institution that it is, forward thinking and laying the foundation for so much more to come. So thank you so much.
Mr. Chair, if I might, just like to say that, we do this work together. Career and technical education is not just one entity. We're extremely proud of our partnerships with the CTED, with the high schools, as we look at that pathway to get students excited about something as early as possible. And as he said, make a difference in the lives of students that can break generational poverty and really pay benefits for generations to come. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Brings us to 2.03, and it's waterline easement for Douglas Campus with the City of Douglas. Administration is requesting Governing Board adopt a motion authorizing the college president or designee to sign the utility easement for the city of Douglas.
Yes, Mr. Chair. In alignment with the development of the expanded water service near the Douglas campus, the city of Douglas seeks a utility easement for the water line as described in the attachment to use our current primary well as a backup to the new well they are developing. The attached agreement, and you've got the updated version. The updated version really was to clarify responsibilities, conditions, and protections for both parties. Was there some recommendations by the county attorney that we agreed with and that Douglas agreed with as well. So it's kind of a more of an updated protected IGA for both of us, but we are recommending that you adopt this motion to authorize us to sign the utility agreement.
Motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 2.04, Intergovernmental Agreement, Arizona Department of Education, Adult Ed Workforce Development.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Cochise College and the Arizona Department of Education are entering into an agreement based on the passage of Senate Bill 1744 during the last legislative session to provide adult education and workforce development opportunities, as noted in the IGA. This IGA has been reviewed by both our legal counsel and is now ready for consideration by the governing board.
Does that mean that subsequently now money will not go through ABOR, or is that, does this not affect that?
This does not affect that. Okay. ABOR does not oversee these monies directly related to adult education and some of the new parameters around adult education and adult education that leads to workforce development and those sorts of things.
Need a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Information item 3.01. We have no new communication for the January meeting. What was it? 3.03 is our marketing report. Robin?
All right. I'll see if we can get going here. I can work with that. We'll use our imagination potentially on some pieces of it. But thank you, Chair Hudgens, governing board members, Dr. Perry, and all of my colleagues. So this is the update, marketing update, and kind of just a guide, information of what we did last year in the marketing area. Oh, goodness. So, well, you got two of our folks from our team there. But just kind of an overview of what marketing and communications does for the college. And in a nutshell, we tell the stories of the college. We communicate the message out, whether it's our internal constituents, external stakeholders. That's kind of the charge of our department. We have fun doing it. So we try to enjoy that. I have five members of my team. And then we have two student content creators, which are paid student positions. And then we also, through the leadership, through our communications manager and PIO, Sharina Cook-General, she's expanded some of our student opportunities. So this year we had five interns, which we really appreciated, getting to have them a part of the project and really creating projects that they can have not only as a part of their portfolio, but we're using in the college. So we had one student intern who developed a student resource guide. She thought that was something that we needed. She brought that forward to us. She designed it, and we're now using it in our student, our new student orientation. So really having that immediate feedback and support from the students has been great. Just some of our top initiatives that we did over 2025 is listed there. Went too far. Okay. So for our paid marketing, there's a couple of different options that we're doing right now and over this last year. So you'll see paid advertising in those display ads, similar to what's on the left of the slide. You'll see that when you're scrolling on Google and you see the ads on the side, sometimes through newspaper articles. So we pay for that advertising. People will click on that and take them to various pages of the website. We also do paid social media. So you'll see the organic posts on social media where we talk about potentially there'll be one tomorrow about what happened today during the governing board, but we also do some paid advertising for that as well. So our total impressions for our paid social media, we had over 1.5 million impressions. So that's content that's going out. So ads that's going out that we're paying for. And then household reach is how many households is that going to? We really target it for the county. Sometimes we go outside the county a little bit, but it's mostly in Cochise County. And we'll extend into Vail and some of those areas into the state of Arizona, kind of depending on the program and what the ad is. Video views is 27,000, which is crazy and really great numbers. People love our videos. We're hearing feedback from students, not just our students, but everybody really watches videos. Some of the feedback we've gotten from our vendors is that people aren't skipping through our videos. They're actually watching the full 30 seconds, which I don't know if you, I know I pass by a lot of the videos. So the fact that they're actually sitting and watching our videos is great feedback. And then so targeted and display videos, primarily what we're paying for that targeted display is some of the social media. YouTube is primarily the audience that we're paying for those paid ads. We do a little bit of streaming. It's just a variety of different websites that might pop up on, but primarily it's YouTube. For social media, we work three social media channels primarily. So Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. So our students are on Instagram. The community members, our staff and faculty often are on Facebook, and then LinkedIn is industry and business partners. So that also has a lot of alumni. So that 25,000 followers, a lot of those are former students who now have us listed as their college. And so that's great information, and they're all over the world as a part of that group. I do have a video. If Serena can get here, I wanted to share this one video with you guys. It's one of the newer ones that we're running right now. Maybe.
Quit sharing and do the share the whole screen here.
Sorry, I threw Serena for a loop with her technology. When you practice and rehearse, it goes perfectly.
Cochise College helped me just by acquiring skills and the confidence to become a full-time firefighter. And I knew that Cochise College uses professional firefighters in order to become instructors. And that gave us a better field experience. They had that real emergency experience that basically made the class a lot easier for us.
Thanks, Serena. I wanted to show that video for two reasons. One, we have a new content creator, videographer, that he's been with us for about a year. So he produced that video. He worked with alumni. One of the areas with creating futures is the concept of that's what the college does, is we create futures. And so we've been trying to reach out to some alumni that are kind of hometown heroes, not necessarily just first responders, but prominent local citizens that people know about that are our former students. So that was one of the captains of the Douglas Fire Department who was one of our students. So I encourage you to go to our YouTube channel. There's a longer 1 minute video of his story, his time as a student, and then how he now is giving back to the community. So that's kind of the angle that we're going, and you'll start to see some more of those. And also, if you have any people that we can use for this to feature, we will take those. We're looking for kind of those hometown heroes that we can use in these ads. So that one's a social media ad. It's doing very well. It's getting a lot of views right now and shares. And then also James has increased our video content by almost half. So in the time that he's been here in a year, we've increased by 53%. He also works closely with the students. So all of the content that they're creating has really been paying off. And then an 10% increase in our subscribers to YouTube. Another channel that we have been really proud about is just press releases and news releases. So we paid, I talked about how we pay for ads. This is free. So we had 54 stories that were covered by external media sources based on press releases that we put out, the news that we put on our news station or our news page, and then also just sharing out. So when we found out we were the number one community college in Arizona, we did a lot of social media marketing behind that. Congressman Sescamani's office saw some of that, and then we were fortunate that he talked about that on the House floor. So those are just kind of the things that we work on behind the scenes to try to really get Cochise College not out into the county, but statewide and then nationally where we can. Couple of campaigns that we did in 2025. We launched a brand new website. So we launched that last winter break. And then we also just kind of did a small redesign of our mycochise.edu based on feedback from students and staff and faculty of just being better organized for the content for that. The website, so the cochise.edu, we submitted that website redesign into the National Council for Marketing and Public Relations, and we got a silver award for that. And then we also got a silver award for our 60th anniversary logo and the campaign that we did for the 60th. So we've moved those awards up to the national level. We'll find out in March if we win any national recognitions for that. So fingers crossed. And these were some campaigns we worked at. We did a ton. I would be here for a lot longer. You guys want to go home. If I could talk about everything that we did in the year, but these were some unique campaigns. Bachelor's degrees, we will continue to market those. We were reaching out. We have a student who is a faculty member with our nursing department who's going through our bachelor program. So we did do a story on him. So that was kind of fun to get to see, you know, one of our own going through the program. And he talks about his experience. So another good story that we got to share. We had a staff member come to us to talk about the importance of letting high school students know about college prep and being college ready for math. So we did a campaign geared towards parents of high school students and just anybody coming back to college that they may need advanced math. So that was a different and unique campaign that we did this last year. We've also partnered with Early College to promote their summer camps. That was another campaign that we submitted and we received a gold award for that. And then finished up our Cochise Red Hot podcast series. That also won a gold award, and that was the brainchild of a student. So I talked about that last year at the meeting. And so just really proud of the work that my team has done. And I just wanted to push that forward. Sometimes it just wanted to make sure that they get their call out and their due. Talking a little bit more about that, creating futures, these are just some examples of things you'll see out in the community. You may get targeted on those and you may not. So sometimes we're very specific on who we're targeting. It might be parents of high school students. We have the ability to do that with a lot of our digital marketing. Sometimes it is parents of college age students. It just kind of depends on what that message is and who we target. A lot of times it's from the age of 16 up to 65, because we serve people from all ages. So it really just kind of depends on what we're trying to target for that specific time frame. In addition to some of the digital stuff, we have printed booklets. So more of that traditional media that you'll see. We have a graphic designer who works with small business development center came to us wanting to do an economic quick facts. So when Mark Schmidt was here, he worked with our graphic designer to create that booklet, and that's being used out in all of the cities throughout the county. The year in review you guys, I think, got last month or the month before when we got that published. She also works with our Center for Lifelong Learning to help with their course catalog for each of their semesters, and then just getting started a guide. And then Denise wasn't here to share her foundation presentation with you, but Danny also works with her. Denise will provide the content for the accolade, and then one of my staff members will help kind of lay that out and design that with her. So Moving forward for this year, continuing to help promote the HLC accreditation visit that's happening at the end of February, supporting the strategic enrollment plan out of the student services office, where marketing can support with that. And then as we work with a new CRM, which I'm excited for, how can we use our marketing strategy and advertising to get data to see what is actually working and what's converting into actual applications. So I'm looking forward to being able to use that data in the future, supporting Dr. Perry's new strategic planning as he moves forward into the next phase once we get done with the HLC visit and finishing out the current strategic initiatives. And then we're also working on a full production commercial, which we could use on streaming. So that the intent is on what used to be kind of cable TV, now we're having all of the streaming networks. We've been kind of silent on that over the last year or two. We're putting some money and some resources into doing a full production theme and commercial for that. So that's the intent over this next year to start going into that platform. And with that, is there any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
So I'm assuming in the past, we've advertised possibly in the movie theaters.
We did. So it was very popular here until they started doing reservations. So now that you can reserve your seat, we would pay for our ad would be so early that nobody's in the theater. So we're paying for an empty theater. So it was very, very popular and it worked really well for us. But right now we're kind of struggling with that.
Well, that was my thought. Was at one time it was probably pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of trickled up.
Especially here, maybe not in a metropolitan area, but for us, it was super popular. And I knew it was paying off because we typically always use our students and staff in our commercials. And when you would see people go to the theaters and they'd come back and say, I saw myself in the theater, or, you know, I was on the big screen. So yeah, it's unfortunate that. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Fun fact, we did have a coworker. So Sharina's was watching the USC fight and apparently two of our ads were shown on that. And I was like, yes. So we got a big audience and we were watching, I was with some friends and it had shown, but I didn't see it come through, but she texted me and she was like, are you watching the fight? And so it was kind of cool that we got that sports audience.
Hopefully
so.
It wasn't the Jake Paul fight that lasted.
No, it was not. It was earlier in this. Yeah. It was, I don't know which one of the ones. I think it was December maybe or something, but yeah.
Robin, I just had one comment.
Sure.
We have a alumni sitting next to me here. He's got quite a story to tell.
I know we need to get you.
You know where to find him.
I do. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
.04 community engagement report. Jen?
This is a written report in your packet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't read the rest of it.
Oh, wait.
That was just a test. Yes, that report was in our packet. Did anybody have any questions on this?
No. I would say the civic engagement in the report, I think that is absolutely outstanding. That is such a great service and needed these days. So thumbs up.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank Jen and her team. When you talk
about being a community college, it's her area, her division that is actually out in the community. I mean, we all are, right? But she's got a concentrated focus to be a part of the community. And most of the time, if you ask people about Cochise College, because they recognized us at the many parades that we did, the holiday parades, being involved in some of the listening sessions and work sessions in the outlying communities and things like that. So thank you so much for your work.
Appreciate it.
0.05, policies for first reading, policy 632, family medical leave, and policy 644, performance evaluation.
Yes, Mr. Chair. So policy 632, family medical leave, has minor revisions related to language consistency and just regulation compliance. 644, performance evaluation, was a little bit more comprehensive. It was reviewed for cleanup and consistency in language, as well as the incorporation of two substantive changes, one being the incorporation of peer and direct report input into the evaluation process as noted in section 3.E and 3.F, meaning it gave the college and the supervisor's manager an opportunity to go a little bit deeper with the evaluation process in looking at colleagues or peers, as well as their direct reports when trying to get really an overall picture of evaluating that individual in order for improvement, right, and what we can do. The second revision of the probationary faculty section to incorporate the new Faculty Academy. That was something that we launched as we thought we really needed to take more of a stance in creating a culture with faculty in regards to where the institution is going and being part of the Cochise College kind of community. And part of that is not just the various things that they have to do, syllabi development and those sorts of things, but making sure that they're getting to the outlying areas. You know, you'd be surprised that we've got full-time faculty and staff that have probably been with us 5 years, but they've never been to the Wilcox Center and they've never been to the Benson Center and those sorts of things. So really to help create this broader picture of the role that we play, not just here in Sierra Vista, but in the outlying areas and the impact that we can make. The proposed changes have been reviewed by the Administrative Cabinet, and the college community reviewed policy 644 twice, so it contains revisions made following that feedback. Both have been approved by the Employee Senate and are being presented to the Governing Board for first reading review.
Comments from the Governing Board members? Mark?
No, happy to be here. Thank you. Every time I'm here, I'm just more impressed by the college and what we're doing and how we are really impacting people's lives. I think that's the goal. One of the major goals of the institution is to help people do better in their lives. And I think you're succeeding. We're succeeding together to accomplish that. So thank you.
Well, I wanted to wish everybody a happy new year and a prosperous one, and hope you're all excited about continuing on and continue to be number one in Arizona. I'm really proud of that, and I'd just like to encourage you all to continue. Thank you.
Just again, thank you. I think this board meeting was kind of a good microcosm, you know, just from the women's soccer team to all the different engagements and the marketing and everything. There's just so much going on, and Cochise College just continues to excel across everything. So thank you. Good luck in the new year.
I'm sure glad we got a whole lot of smart folks in charge of all this.
Me too.
I just want to thank everybody again, as I do each month, because I can't thank you enough. You folks make this a great place to be, and certainly make it a great county to live in. Improves Arizona as well. So thank you all, and look forward to everything that we're going to see in 26. With that, this meeting is adjourned.